My name is Olumuyiwa Alaba. I'll be moderating this session. And I'm pleased to have here with me Professor Jonathan Aremu, a renowned professor of economics. Also I have with me Dr. Muda Yusuf. Dr. Muda Yusuf is the immediate past CEO of Lagos Chamber of Commerce and Industry. And I also have with me Mr. Peter Oluoye, the Director Investment Department of the ECOWAS Commission. Today, we will be talking about the African Continental Free Trade Area Agreement that was signed in March 2018 in Kigali and was ratified by required number of countries that was specified in the agreement. Now it is 5 years down the line after the agreement was signed and ratified. I want to see how far we have gone as a country, and in general, the African Continental Free Trade Area, you know, where are we? We know we started trading officially in 1st of January 2021, and 2022 October guided trade initiative started. So we want to assess where we are, and we have competent set of experts on this panel. I will start from Professor Jonathan Aremu to ask whether you think Nigeria has actually capitalized on the opportunities offered by the AfCFTA to diversify the exports basket of Nigeria, particularly towards the non-oil exports. And have we able to actually use the opportunity in the AfCFTA to face other direction in terms of trading partner? So let me start from you, Professor Aremu.
Thank you so much, Dr. Alaba, and I very much appreciate you. You have been a very wonderful colleague for quite some time. And yes, I agree with NEAG that we need to reassess how far African Continental Free Trade Area, where we are, and what Nigeria have been able to do. Well, you have given us some preliminary information. Let me just say this again, that to do or not to do of Nigeria was the beginning of the game over here in this country. Quite a lot of people, particularly the organized private sector, they were not under the same page whether we should be there or we should not be there, premising their position on the fact that what has ECOWAS even given us? Why are we going to a continental level? And then as a result of that, there was a lot of dragging and dragging, and that Nigeria could not participate at the initial signing. Later on, government put in place a readiness study, of which NEAG was very much involved in, and were able to convince government to sign. So, once again, congratulations to Nigerian Economic Summit Group for what and what was done to be able to make sure Nigeria is part and parcel of this. Now, the question is this. So far, has Nigeria capitalized on African Continental Free Trade Area to diversify its exports? Well, let me say this, that this thing started, according to what you said, 2021. Nigeria has not actually exported anything which you can say is attached to African Continental Free Trade Area, talk less of looking at whether it's among the diversified product that is totally different from exporting oil. But one thing that Nigeria have done are this. Number one, Nigerian in the course of all this preparation finalized its trade and investment policy. Nigerian finalized other things like the national strategy of AFTA. And as you said, that the Trade Guardian Initiative started October 2022. The 8 countries involved in this area, Nigeria was not part of it. But Nigeria is just among the 22 countries that are going into it right now. And I think by now we will have actually do the first shipping, because it was meant to actually commence on the 30th of April, yes. But the president have to change it because he wanted to be around. Well, we have a lot of diversified products, both to destination and where we are importing from, that we can give to other African countries, and we can import from other African countries. But this we have not been able to do. There are no preparation by the National Action Committee, headed by Olusegun Awolowo. But since none have actually left our coast or now coming into our coast, we may not be able to say these are diversified products so far. But I think that we are fully prepared now. And at a time
thank
when...
Thank you so much, yes. Sir. We're just starting the conversation. We will be back to you as we go ahead. I want to Dr. Muda Yusuf. It is 5 years down the line. Now, there are so many talks about AfCFTA Nigeria, stakeholders meetings, donor-funded meeting, and co. And one of the key pillars of AfCFTA is to promote small and medium-scale enterprises to be able to access regional markets. Do you think the small and medium-scale enterprises actually see AfCFTA as a launchpad towards their internationalization and towards accessing foreign markets? Dr. Yusuf.
Yes. First of all, let me say that the fears that were expressed at the onset of our signing of this AfCFTA, that was about 5 years ago, those fears are still there as we speak, because there were fears about competitiveness. Because trade, international trade, at the end of the day, is about competitiveness. It is those who are competitive that will benefit from trade. Professor Aremu referenced the readiness study. Yes, there was a readiness report. All the items that were outlined in that report that needed to have been put in place, not one has actually been put in place. And the whole idea of that study was to position the Nigerian economy, particularly the economic operators, the SMEs, for the opportunities in NAFTA from the point of view of competitiveness. If anything, the situation has even worsened. So those concerns are there, but when we talk about businesses, SMEs, we need to also unpack them. We have those who are in the real sector space, who are in production. We have those who are in services. For those in services, mobility, readiness is much better. Because as you know, the economy is about 57% services. So for those in services like entertainment, ICT, legal services, medical, they have that capacity to move on as far as the AfCFTA is concerned, when we remove all barriers. But for those in production, it's extremely, extremely very difficult. In fact, many of them are nervous anytime you talk about AfCFTA, because they are worried that environments with better competitiveness in terms of production are likely to make Nigeria a market destination rather than an investment destination. As of 2022, our competitiveness ranking in Nigeria as an economy, we were number 14 in Africa. Globally, we were 114 in terms of competitiveness ranking. So if in Africa we are number 14, you can imagine the implication of that for trade. So the answer to your question is yes and no. For those in the services sector, the level of readiness, I think, is much better. They are more mobile. They are not as encumbered by the challenges of infrastructure, challenges of the ports, challenges of logistics, challenges of energy, as those who are in the real sector of the economy. So, theoretically, yes, the opportunities there, but the fear of competitiveness will persist.
Thank you, Dr. Muda. Mr. Peter Onoye, what kind of support do you think Nigerian government needs to focus on? First, to the small and medium scale enterprises that are actually the one that are really participating in the market access, that are taking the market access opportunities where they exist. That is one. Two, what do we need to do to stimulate the participation of the subnationals? Because the MSMEs are actually situated within the purview of the subnationals, and subnationals has a lot of role to play in ensuring they are able to produce competitively and they are able to access market. So what kind of support system do you think the government at the national level needs to give to both the subnationals and the small and medium scale enterprises that operate within the subnationals?
Thank you,
Mr. Peter.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Alabi. What support for SMEs for market access? In the trade for goods and services, there's a whole lot to consider for market access. All right, particularly when you look at the issues of the free movement of goods, standards and quality requirements, sanitary and phytosanitary requirements. I think that the Standards Organization of Nigeria and the Export Promotion Council, all right, and every other authority that is involved in this area should by now be building the capacities of SMEs and the producers in the real sector to understand their requirements for market access in the region. Let's take agri, for example. They need to understand that produces of national origin that meet the rule of origin can access the market freely. I do not think that a lot of these SMEs understand this classification. So the first thing is to make them understand the framework provisions of the AFCFTA and to build their capacity in producing to meet these standards. For those in services, I don't think that trade in services needs to meet these standards, but schedules, the government needs to enter into offers and requests bilaterally and within the framework of the AFCFTA to facilitate the movement of professionals and other services, business services within the AFCFTA. On what to do to make subnationals help SMEs participate in the AFCFTA, there's so much to do. What immediately comes to mind is the issue of competitiveness, whether we're talking about price and cost competitiveness, or even access should in terms of evacuation of produced goods to the places where they can be aggregated, or access to ports and the ease of shipment of goods and even clearing of goods, because there is also the inward trade into the country. All right, the government needs to prepare all these requirements in order for SMEs to be competitive and to be supported in leveraging the AfCFTA. As it is today, we have a whole lot of structural deficiencies. For example, when you consider the cost of the factors of production, all right, whether it is access to capital or finance, or access to machineries, or access to raw materials, even when they are produced within the country. All right, all of these are difficult. Dr. Muda Yusuf had talked about the classification, Nigeria's position in the competitiveness classification. All those issues of competitiveness need to be unpacked for these SMEs. And more importantly, to bring the SMEs to understand the modalities for trading within the AfCFTA. If this is not done, then we are not going to be able to leverage any advantage or benefit, both in terms of market access or in terms of the requirements for meetings.
Thank you.
In the region. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Peter. Let me get back to Dr. Yusuf. Dr. Muda Yusuf, how best can Nigeria promote investment, regional investment and industrial cluster to enhance value chain and production network to support Nigeria to actually benefit under the opportunities and provisions of the African Continental Free Trade Area Agreement? You know, what are the, how best can Nigeria promote regional investment and investment clusters? We know we have garment cluster in Aba, we have leather shoe cluster, we have in Kano, we have data, we have all of those around. How best can we promote investments? How best can we position this industrial cluster to access a market? Dr. Yusuf.
Yes, thank you. Well, what government could do is to support these clusters, because for market access, there are standards. Standards with respect to quality, to packaging, and all of that. I think with the support of government, and because there are also many of them are in clusters, it is easier for governments to bring support to them, give them the right kind of guidance around all the issues of standards and quality and packaging, and also facilitate the ease of logistics. All those things are key. Of course, issue of cost is there. I don't think there's much the government can do, but if the government can support them with financing, that will help. Because as we speak now, we are talking about a monetary policy mode of very extreme monetary policy tightening, which has pushed interest rate now to over 30%. So I wonder what kind of exports you want to do at an interest rate of 30%. So if there are concessionary windows for financing for exports and to support them as is done in many other countries, that will help this kind of regional access. But more importantly is to deal with what Prof said and Peter about issues of non-tariff barriers. That is extremely very important, because when we talk about AFTA, the building block of AFTA as the regional blocks, you know, the regional communities. And even within the regional blocks, there are still issues. Even with big companies, if they tell you their experience, you'll be shocked. So we need to see what we can do to remove these barriers, and more importantly as well, to also ensure that there are linkages. We don't have transport linkages by rail, we don't have transport linkages by sea. How do you now foster this integration? So all of these things require national government support and collective commitment by the political leadership in the sub-region. And we also need, of course, we need the political stability. I mean, look at how many of our countries in the sub-region are now under military rule. And military regimes come with all manner of arbitrariness. They are so unpredictable and all of that. Those issues are there. So these are some of the things that we need to do so that the current level of trade that are now predominantly informal, we cannot begin to formalize them. And we need to capture more data and things like that.
Professor Aremu, thank you, Dr. Yusuf. Professor Aremu, Dr. Yusuf, I lighted a couple of things on, you know, non-tariff barrier issue. You know, what do you think? We have been, you know, we know under free trade area, we want to get rid of tariff issues, which, you know, countries have placed their offer on the table, subject to negotiations before, you know, they can exchange goods and services. However, non-tariff barriers are actually growing every day. What do you think we should do to reduce these non-tariff barriers? Like Dr. Yusuf said, there is even non-tariff barriers, there are barriers to trade within regional economic communities. So how best should we address this?
Well, thank you very much again, Alaba. You see, the issue of non-tariff barriers is not a one-country approach. It will demand a continental approach. And that is why the NTB area is an area in which there are additional annexes to the various protocols that have been signed. And countries actually to look at the one that affects them and make sure they resolve some of these things. So the non-tariff barriers range, you know, in so many dimensions. And one of the issues is that it includes quite a lot of infrastructure. Some policies that are totally domestic and which are not even conditions on the protocol that have been ratified by member states. So, but just as I said, the NTB issues, there's an annex under the African Continental Free Trade Area, of which the countries will have to ensure that they streamline some of this non-tariff barrier to be in agreement with what each member state party into African Continental Free Trade Area ratified. So I think that's the approach. It's not a one-country approach. It's an inter-country approach. It's a continental approach.
Thank you so much, Prof. Mr. Peter, what role do you think the diaspora can play in facilitating trade and investment, under the AFCFTA? Nigerians in diaspora, we have Nigerians everywhere. What role can they play to facilitate trade from Nigeria across international borders?
All right, thank you, Dr. Alaba. Two things quickly come to mind. All right, the first is that they can, given their competencies and their experiences in the diaspora, they can transfer technology and build capacity for participants in the AFCFTA. And that would happen if they themselves take interest in the regional market and the continental market and find the incentive to bring in direct investment into the region. That way, their investment would make use of local industries, make use of linkages in the value chain to transfer technology so that these other SMEs can meet the requirements of the AFCFTA and trade effectively. The second thing that comes in mind is access to finance. All right, the diaspora remittances to Nigeria is in excess of, if I can still remember my figures, of 24 billion. All right, the last time I checked. Now, these remittances go into financing of consumption mostly. Okay, thank God today, I think the federal government, working with the Federal Ministry of Industry and Trade and the Nigerian Investment Promotion Agency, are mulling a diaspora investment fund. Well, if well structured and well protected, protection is important because nobody wants to bring in his investment into an area of uncertainty. So if well structured, if well regulated, and well protected, then these remittances can be securitized to facilitate local investment in the first instance, and to facilitate even outward investment from Nigeria to other member AFCFTA countries. So two clear areas: one, competencies and technology transfer, managerial experience transfer. The second one is in facilitating access to finance. We know what the interest rates are today. We expect that the monetary policy of CBN would attract this investment, but would they go into the real sector to facilitate production of goods and services that can trade effectively in the AFCFTA? These are questions that need to be answered.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yeah. Dr. Yusuf, thank you. Dr. Yusuf, let me come back to you. And I want to ask this question regarding trade facilitation. I've heard you talk about problem with facilitation of trade several times. But, you know, things seem still not changing. What can we do differently in terms of trade facilitation? What trade facilitation mechanism else can we deploy? How do we reposition the Nigerian customs? How do we manage our borders better so that the multiplicity of agencies, the complication of trade processes, you know, can be removed? If you remove this, we know trade facilitation is about reducing the cost and time of doing business. When we're able to achieve this, Nigerian firms, even people that are coming to do business in Nigeria, think life will be easy for them. So, in a nutshell, what I want to ask you is that, what can we do differently?
Well, as for trade facilitation, we are not short of ideas, because I know that the likes of Professor Aremu and some other experts in the area of trade have provided a number of solutions and prepared all manner of reports. But what has been lacking over time is the political will to effect a change, to effect the necessary reforms that we need to see in that space. First, there are structural issues to deal with to facilitate trade. I'm talking about the quality of infrastructure in our gateways, whether you are talking of maritime or even the road or the airports, the quality of infrastructure to ensure seamless trade. is one. Because if you see many other climes, you have very seamless, you know, infrastructure, intermodal transportation. You move your cargo from rail to sea, from sea to rail to the road to your warehouse, right from the port. Not when you have to go and queue for almost 1 or 2 weeks before you can even get your cargo into the port. So there's the issue of physical infrastructure. Then there is the issue of technology. Because unless we digitalize the processes, we remove all this human interface, these challenges will remain of trade fraud and even corruption. Because it is this human interface that also leads to corruption. And also we need to remove all these discretionary powers or authority that people have along the entire chain to determine what you should pay, what you should not pay, and all of those things. So the ideas are there. There has been all manner of commitment, but we need the political will to make things happen. But it's essentially about technology. It's about the commitment to, you know, invest in the right kind of infrastructure.
Thank you, Dr. Yusuf. Professor Aremu, let me come back to you. I know you are so passionate about AfCFTA. I know you are an apostle when it comes to AfCFTA. However, this is 5 years down the line. I know you are so passionate about AfCFTA. I know you are an apostle when it comes to AfCFTA. And Article 28 of AfCFTA says that the treaty must be reviewed every five years. Now, this is 5 years down the line. The treaty is due for review. However, every ingredient that should promote implementation of AfCFTA are still missing. If you remember very well, the Protocol on Free Movement was signed by 33 countries. We require 15 countries to ratify. I think only 3 have ratified freedom of free movement protocol. And if we cannot still move freely within Africa to trade, only 3 countries ratified, can we say there is AfCFTA? Then, is there any basis for review of this treaty for now? Professor Aremu?
I think you have answered the question, because you just bring out the problem that is calling for review. The problem of the free movement, where only 3, even those 3 countries, I'm to go to Kenya now, and even the Kenya, you said that they allow free movement. It's not totally free. But when the thing did not come quite quickly, that is the visa, I have to call them. And some of these still put some conditions. What I'm saying is that we expected all those things. The 5 year for the review is quite good. And seriously speaking, we are very serious in African continental free trade area. Africa is serious. Head of things are serious. We expect all this problem. This problem is not enough to stop it. This problem just means that we have to fine-tune some of the protocol and then appeal to one another to be able to be on board to ensure that all of us act in line with what the protocols of the various agreements are saying. So that we have problem doesn't mean that it's not working. A lot of people say ECOWAS have not been working for so many years, and that's not true, because with my passport I can go to any ECOWAS country. A time will come in which this will equally happen in Africa. But let me say this one, that specifically with respect to free movement in Africa, even without AFTA, look at the people that are moving from the Sahel region, and then they are just bombarding us in Nigeria. And you want us to actually go as a free movement? It's not possible. We need to solve all those internal crises. We need to look at what are we going to do. And that is why some of these things are actually
due for review. Yes, we want free movement, but there are still some identified problems that will not allow the free movement to come on board easily. Also, we expected that the kickoff will be, and you said it correctly, the kickoff of this agreement will start as of 1st of January 2021. But even the test running of it, which is the GTI, started October 2022. And up to now, Nigeria has even not started the GTI. But that is not an enough thing to say, this thing will not work. There are a lot of preparation. There are a lot of things that we thought we allow us to go ahead, which is not allowed to go ahead immediately. Quite a lot of countries, they have not even have national strategy. Nigeria has got its own, but other countries may not have it. The understanding of trading services is quite very new in some countries. Let me say this, that even in ECOWAS countries, we sign into trading services. Trading services is contributing 54.3% of our GDP. But when you ask people about trading services under AFTA, how many people understand? It is only beginning of next month that we are going to have a coalition of trading services to be able to get all the priority sector to be able to meet and decide what and what to do to set people get more sensitized. So let us not continue rushing. The thing is already there. The problem we are facing now justifies the reason for review. So when people are assembling area to review, all what they are going to say is that this and this is what has not allowed us to move in line with what we have accepted. So I agree that we need to review. It is not bad. Up to now, people are still contributing. Cooperating.
So thank you. Go ahead. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Dr. Yusuf, let me come back to you. And you mentioned issue of capacity. You mentioned issue of technology. And part of trade facilitation agreement actually talked about, border agency cooperation, customs cooperation, building capacity across border. So I want to ask you, how can Nigeria, on its own side, position itself to strengthen partnership with, other countries in terms of enhanced technical capacity, in terms of knowledge sharing? How should Nigeria position itself, to partner with other countries, to make sure AFCFTA works?
Well, I think within the continent, and even within the sub-region, I'm aware that there is a lot of cooperation that is taking place among all the agencies that are involved in international trade. I'm talking about the customs, some of our military, the immigration, the port authorities, and so on. There are a lot of cooperation that goes on. And because of the heightening level of insecurity, that has also crept into it. Because insecurity and trade are now very big issues on the agenda, just as Professor Aremu said. So as much as we want to liberalize trade and liberalize movement of people, we need to be extremely careful about the challenges of insecurity and what that is doing to countries. So I'm aware that there's a lot of cooperation that is going on among all the agencies of government across countries within the continent. But again, I must stress the importance of political will. Because if we don't drive these issues from the top, we are not likely to make much progress.
Yeah, you are very correct. Thank you. Mr. Peter, let me ask you what mechanisms you think Nigeria should put in place to monitor the implementation and the impact of AFCFTA on Nigerian economy. Mr. Peter.
Thank you very much, Dr. Alaba. The first requirement is to make sure that The national regulations, laws, and policies comply with all of the instruments of the AFCFTA. And to do that, there is the National AFTA Committee, maybe I'm not using the right appellation now. All right, that is there. I think that there should be a periodic evaluation by way of development and deployment of instruments to see that the extent to which Nigeria has even domesticated or adapted to the instruments of the AFCFTA. That is one. Now, on whether we are able to trade, on the other hand, having understood the conditions for market access, all right, there should also be an effort to redact each of those requirements into measurable standards, into indicators that can be evaluated. And based on the gaps that are recorded from time to time, because again, this should be periodic monitoring, such framework for monitoring will tell us where to train people, which value chains to promote, which sectors to focus on, because at the end of the day, we cannot trade in everything. We'll focus on our comparative advantages. The third one will be the structural issues, roads, power, all the things that are input into the production of goods and services for trade in the AFCFTA. How do we make ourselves competitiveness? Nigeria should be able to do a peer review of its effectiveness, efficiency in the supply and of all these factors of production, all right, and how they impact on cost of production and the competitiveness of Nigerian traders in the AFCFTA. We also need to monitor, finally, we also need to monitor how flexible we are in striking partnership and trading relationships with members of the AFCFTA, a situation where we take discretionary measures and make our policies to somersault from time to time, contrary to this, is also inimical. We should be able to also redact this and measure them using the instrumentality of
Thank you so much. Our time is actually fast spent. I will come back to both Professor Aremu and Dr. Yusuf in that order, you know, to say, as a state party, which Nigeria is, what strategies should Nigeria adopt to participate fully and benefit maximally in the FCFTA? Professor Aremu.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Alaba. Number one, in any economic integration, latecoming is not beneficial. Because those countries that are already practicing the GTI, they are already having customers. And if they have customers in their production and activities, and then you say, we are producing this, where will you get customers? So in economic integration, you need to act fast. That is why Ghana acted fast by signing quickly and ratifying quickly. Nigeria will be dragging foot. Secondly, and this one does not concern the issue of lateness alone, the issue of infrastructure. God will not send angels to come and fit our infrastructure. And therefore, there is need to have good infrastructure, light. As I used to say, in the book of Genesis chapter 1, before God can create anything, he said, let there be light. Can you create anything in darkness? The answer is no. You said there is darkness. You put in place tax. You do this one in the dark where people are not producing. You see, you need to put up the essential infrastructure to allow production to happen if you are not wiser than God. Thank you, sir.
Well, let me just support what Prof has said. No country can benefit from trade, international trade, without competitiveness. So competitiveness issue is number one. So whatever we can do to facilitate and accelerate our competitiveness, I think we should do. Otherwise, let me repeat again, Nigeria will just become a very comfortable market destination, not an investment destination.
Thank you so much. Our time is fast spent. I want to thank Mr. Peter Onuoye for your thoughts. Dr. Muda Yusuf, thank you for your time. And Professor Jonathan Aremu, thank you for participating in this exciting conversation. My name once again is Olumuyo Alaba. Thank you so much.
It's been fantastic having you with us. To listen to more episodes, please be sure to visit our website, www.nesgroup.org/podcast. Until next time, bye for now.